It's an honor to be with you today. It's been a great time in San Francisco. I actually honeymooned here 17 years ago. So my wife is with me, and she just left yesterday. And we enjoyed all the good food. And I was telling Larry that, you know, we have a little more money now, so we were able to enjoy some other things besides. You know, it was all exciting, even the game, until they decided to light a bus on fire right outside our hotel room. So that was a little scary there on Third and Market. But I'd like to acknowledge the co-authors here. Amber Lindsay is actually the lead author, and this was her graduate project. She was unable to be here. She did attend the emergency cardiovascular care update in Florida, and this is where she gave her talk on this, but we were unable to get her here. Josh West, and you'll notice that last name there is my same last name. That's actually my father, and this was our last project together. After 45 years, he decided to call it quits as a professor and a writer and publisher, or author. So I acknowledge him. You see the title there, iPhone Apps for Cardiopulmonary Resuscitation and Content Analysis. I have no relationships to disclose, so let's get right into the introduction and background. I could probably ask who has a smartphone out there, and most of you may raise your hand. I got my first iPhone about a year ago because I was with Adrian again in Washington at APHA, and that was the first time we used an iPhone in a big city, and I was amazed. It was the coolest thing ever. So I got myself an iPhone after that. while we think everybody has an iPhone, the number is still fairly small, I think, 35%, but that's a lot of people. So approximately 35% of U.S. adults have a smartphone application with their cellular phone. So let's go ahead and use that application. So in public health, if you were to search for public health apps, something like that, you would get a number of hits, not just in iPhone, but with Android or Windows phones, those sort of things. In fact, one study that we used as sort of a model was for smoking cessation, where they did a content analysis of all the different types of apps for smoking cessation. So yes, these are heavily used in public health. Then we get to what are some of the issues with CPR? And this talk is particularly about the layperson. How can we increase usability and just the delivery and the quality of CPR? And I think we can do that through iPhones. But the problems you see are threefold. People don't use the CPR that they've been trained with. They may never use it. They may not be taught correctly. They may not be following national or international guidelines when they're being trained, or even that trainer is not doing the correct job. And if you're like me, you tend to forget things, even at my young age. You just forget the many nuances of CPR, that there are many guidelines that the American Heart Association puts out that it's a chain of survival that we need to remember. So we decided, okay, public health uses applications for mobile devices. Are there CPR applications on the mobile device? And if you actually did a search, you would come up. I did one yesterday, just typing in CPR, and 144 different applications came back. We did a very similar study for first aid applications, and there were even more hits that came back when you type in first aid in your search engine. So this study was to look at the content of those applications. Dr. West, one of the co-authors, he's really a leader in some of these marketing applications for public health, and so he was a great asset in this. We based these things off of the 2010 American Heart Association CPR guidelines, which were updated in 2010. They update those every 5 years. So let's get right into the methods. So we used the guidelines, the American Heart Association 2010 guidelines. We were really looking for presence or absence of a particular guideline from American Heart Association. Was it there? Was it not there? And possible scores were from zero, meaning they did the application, the iPhone or the iPhone application did not address any of those guidelines, all the way up to 18, which were the in the particular AHA section, there were 18 guidelines that should be followed to deliver correct CPR. So this goes back a little bit, but May 17, 2011, that's where we started searching for these applications, and those were our search queries. Obviously, most of them came back with CPR and cardiopulmonary resuscitation. We obviously had to exclude several apps. They either were irrelevant to the study. They may have had a different structure or purpose. For example, we excluded pediatric CPR. We excluded any ALS, anything for nurses or physicians or emergency room. We excluded PET CPR, those sort of things, textbooks that came up. So there were a number of things we had to exclude. Also, some of these apps are repeated. May have been an app developer who developed one app and then decided, well, let's go ahead and do another one, yet they never deleted the first one. It's still, you can still search for that. Many were no longer available for download that were created. If you have an iPhone or some of these others, you're used to the light versions, which tend to be free, right? Versus the full-blown version, which has some associated costs. But there are several CPR applications where the light version was equal to the full-blown normal version. So that, we found that interesting. And so if the light and the normal came out to be the same, those one of those were excluded. And then we only looked at English. So our analysis, there are some of the stats that came along with this. Now, Amber and Josh West are my statisticians, and I have two of my favorite statisticians in the room here as well for other projects. So, but we'll talk about these a little bit. Our results. So we ended up analyzing 50 applications, 50 apps on the iPhone. That's after all the exclusions. They fell into the major category was medical, healthcare, and first aid. That's where you'll find that. 19 of the 50 had some associated cost, with 31, 19 were free versus 31 that had some associated cost. Yep. And that ranged from 99 cents all the way up to a whopping $5.99. And there's the average price. Now, customer ratings, if you're familiar with how iPhones are rated, it was 3.5 out of 5 stars. Now, customer ratings, I'll give a little caveat, in most cases did not focus on content and quality. It was more focused on, did the app crash? There were many that just focused on usability, how easy was it to navigate around the application. I happened to download the APHA iPhone app, and it worked great until I needed to find my location, and then it crashed. And so maybe I should review that and give it some star. But bear in mind that these apps were not, you know, I lost someone. You know, I was a lay person delivering CPR and I lost them, and so the quality was poor or something like that. It had nothing to do with that. Another interesting on the descriptions, interesting aspect is that the paid received a higher customer rating on average. But 22 of them did not have any customer ratings whatsoever, so people were not rating those. The methods, we actually had two raters, we had some acceptable inter-rater reliability. Our adherence score, now this is where it gets interesting, is of those 50 apps, when you take the average of the adherence score from 0 to 18, the average score was 8.02 out of 18, so we'll discuss that here momentarily. And we did have some apps that claimed to be CPR apps that did not have any adherence to the national guidelines. and the best that we received was 17 of the 18 guidelines. This just shows that there was a trend of app adherence score to price, and a significant trend of app adherence score to the customer ratings as well. So those are a couple things we'll talk about here momentarily. Now, when we break out those, I don't know how well you can read this, but when you break out the guidelines, this is the order that, we should be seeing. And the top three, most of the apps met that one. Okay, check the victim. We didn't go into, is it correct how you're checking the victim? Just did they mention that you check the victim and you check for responsiveness, you establish responsiveness? Obviously, we do not. The apps felt that, yeah, you don't want to start delivering CPR on someone who is responsive. So, good. We got 78% on that one. They also felt that, yes, activating the emergency response system is a good thing to do. So 78% of the apps did that, but it's still, we're missing out on 22% that did not have that. Going down, they seem to decrease. We'll talk about some of these things that have changed in the 2010 guidelines and some of the disturbing findings. But as you go down that list, I think the second to last one, if you've ever delivered CPR or witnessed CPR given, it's usually not it's not the CPR that's bringing them back. It is an AED that is bringing them back. So when the apps, even some of the best apps, do not talk about retrieving an AED, and this is a layperson, remember, who is under stress, hasn't done this before, and needs some guidance, and they have an iPhone, and they downloaded that app to their iPhone. They've witnessed someone they know crash, and we are not telling them the best way to bring them back is to retrieve that AED and know how to use it. Only 14% of the apps hit on that, so let's discuss this a little bit. Obviously, low adherence score to the evidence-based guidelines from the American Heart Association. Our high-priced apps tend to have higher adherence score. In fact, the number one app cost $5.99. And in the paper that's been submitted for publication, we do list the top 10, and there was only one that had no associated costs. All the others had, there was a 99-cent one, but most of those were right around $2.99 up to the $5.99. So app price tells consumers that this is a quality CPR application that could be used today in an emergency response. Customer ratings seem to be indicative of the adherence scores to the guidelines. I think we could discuss that all day, what that means, because I think, in my opinion, there wouldn't be too much association between the two of those. When you look at those 18 guidelines again, 10 of them that are critical to this chain of survival, only 10 of them, have app adherence to 50% of the apps analyzed. And of those 10, three were changed in 2010. So these three, if you're familiar with CPR and what happened in 2010, was the emphasis on compressions, the order that you deliver that. And so those were changed, and in many of these, it was not addressed whatsoever. Now, we felt we did send this out to an industrial or an international journal for publication. They rejected it because they thought that it was not. They thoroughly enjoyed it, by the way, but did not feel that it was international enough. That we only focused on English and that we used American Heart Association guidelines, which I completely disagreed with. And so, I don't know where I was going with that. I lost my train of thought on that one. Okay. Limitations to this study, obviously several. We only evaluated this for the presence of the guidelines. Now, there could be further content analysis based on the quality and when you get into the part, excuse me, the parts of the AHA guidelines. Now, are we meeting what the evidence says? There was no evaluation on usability. We weren't in the, that's not my job to determine what do iPhone folks who are using these actually, what are they looking for? We did not have any other recommendations, and that goes back to that we didn't look at international recommendations at all. Now, previous versions of iTunes, you could actually see how often this application was downloaded. However, they've changed that. I think starting in 2010, Apple changed how you can see that. So you can't see, and that may be an indicator. So we would have to contact Apple to see, okay, exactly how many people are downloading these. And the scope was limited to iPhone apps. However, I do believe that the apps out there that were developed would be equal in an Android system or a Windows phone, something like that. So we felt that it was okay to just focus on the apps. Recommendations. These apps aren't just leading you to a location. They aren't telling you how to cut up fruit or how to launch birds. These apps are telling you how to save lives. It is our opinion that there needs to be some sort of certification process to get these type of apps delivered on this market. We would like to see improvement to the feedback mechanisms. Nothing right now in any of these ratings show content. And then while this study may not be seen by the general population, it is our duty as public health professionals, you know, to guide users of these apps to the best apps, and so those that contain the evidence-based CPR guidelines. And we can also work with app developers and say, okay, there may not be a certification process, however, let's get the right guidelines in there so that people can start using this. And that is all. If you wanted to know the top 10, you're going to have to read the paper when it's published. So I'll leave that caveat out there, right? Okay? So any questions? Yes?
I have a question. First, I know you're doing great for usability, but do you know if they were like verbal instructions that were being given, or if it was like you had to read along as?
Yeah, so it was all reading. There were videos, like some of the apps, some of the best apps actually had, you could go to a video and watch it. However, we were looking at the text only. So was there text?
Yeah.
But many of these had videos that were good, yeah. And the videos are good to show hand placement, you know, depth, those sort of things. And so that was good.
You're actually tuning into
Yeah. So it wasn't verbal at all. So that could be part of the usability for the person.
Totally, just being double advocate. Don't you think it's a little bit interesting? Because I mean, to actually give PR, you need to be certified, or else you're legally responsible.
Yeah. Now, yeah. This should be for when I say layperson, I mean someone who has been trained.
Okay.
When I say layperson, I don't mean, you know, a nurse or EMT or a physician. This is someone who has received training. So I'm not advocating that just anybody downloads an app and then they are trained to give it. This is. Thank you. I'm glad we cleared the air up on that. Okay. Because in 20 minutes, there are some things that may get left out. So thank you.
Sorry.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, for trained only. Yep, very good. Thank you. Nope, that was good. Good clarification.
Yeah, I wanted to say the same thing. If you go to the conjunction with the training.
Yes. In conjunction with the training, yeah. So that's key. But what happens with the training, we showed some of the problems are that you can forget it. You haven't ever used it, and now you all of a sudden have to use it, those sort of things. And maybe you were never taught correctly in the first place. We hope that, you know, with the current certification process through the the many organizations that the training is happening correctly.
One more quick question. The developers, do you look at if they were reliable stores or, you know, like who developed that app?
Yeah, so on several of these, you only see the app developer. You don't actually see if it was Red Cross or AHA. However, the top apps were usually, they were names that we would know, like AHA. AHA has one. Red Cross has one. ASHI has one. AAOS has one. And those all seem to fit in that top 10. So yeah, the names that we would recognize as CPR and first aid organizations were in the top, and they had associated costs with them. It's my feeling that when you're buying an app, you tend to stick to the free one, though, don't you? That's different in this case. Okay, thank you.